And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And we got a full show for you. Brian Keller is... I'm not sure where Brian is.
Actually, I think he's here. I think he's slammed right
now. Brian Keller's crying. So let's get right into our stories here. And our first one is the SQL Server Virtual Launch Event. So I like this. This is March 7th, so mark your calendars. And it's going to be a live event, just a number of sessions. They got Ted Coomer and a couple other folks doing keynotes. They got business intelligence, T-SQL enhancements, manageability, Azure content. So definitely a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's a big upgrade, so I highly suggest people tune in.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be pretty big. Definitely check it out. I know... Roger Doherty is planning to do a bunch of stuff for Channel 9 as well, so probably more deeper dive type content, but mark your calendars. That's kind of the long and short of it. So what is this?
So this is 20 free hours of Windows Phone training. So if you haven't been checking into Windows Phone, I mean, it's talking about unit testing, working with MVVM, tombstoning, application bars, animations, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a lot of, you know... It's a different way of thinking versus classic Windows applications to deal with, you know, the concept of your application will tombstone. And a lot of these things will actually translate into Windows 8 styles of thinking for when your application could get, you know, tombstoned away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the thought of it, that the application suspension and termination and how data is hydrated or rehydrated when an application goes up or down and stuff like that. So, another one, this is must-have tools for Windows Phone development.
By Diary of a Ninja. So, they brought up some interesting things such as, that actually I hadn't even, you know, thought about was, like, using the Silverlight Spy for figuring out, like, your XAML grid and stuff like that, along with the Isolated Storage Explorer. So then you can actually see what's in your isolated storage.
Yeah, which we've talked about before, which I love, because you never know what's actually in there.
Yeah.
Especially if there's old settings, you change them, you serialize them.
And then they also mentioned Jeff Wilcox has a Metro Grid overlay that helps line up everything. And it's one of those things where a lot of people don't notice, like, hey, I have a text that's out, you know, like 5 or 6 pixels over when everything should be precisely lined up on one side with this many pixels over. And it's a quick little visual overlay that you can turn on and off, much like the debugger.
Cool, very cool. You know, another cool project is Metro Sky. So this is, and it's an application that's currently in the marketplace by Elijah and Jack. And what it is SkyDrive, basically on your phone.
Cool.
So the idea is you can search through, you connect up your SkyDrive, and using the new Windows Live SDK, you can actually do everything you can on SkyDrive. Look through your information, see your files, open up, you know, Word document, pictures, etc.
Cool.
So I think the other cool part is we're actually going to have Elijah write for us for Coding for Fun.
Awesome.
Basically a how-to tutorial series on how you built the app. So cool stuff. And... you know, beyond being a cool app, of course, the source code is available, too.
Awesome.
Yes. So, which brings us to Hanselman's on 9. So, the EDI robotics platform with Kinect.
So, this is something that Microsoft Robotics released. EDI is a platform done by Parallax. It's I think it's about $1,300 for the system. But it's an expandable system, so you can get it and do a bunch of interesting things. It uses Kinect. It's just a very useful, powerful building platform. And they announced it over at Maker Faire, I believe, last year. So it's getting there, and it's I've seen a couple of them around campus. They're a neat little toy.
Cool, cool. And this video is just Scott basically playing with random robots.
Yeah.
just want to make sure that I had that one correct. Okay. So Stephen Tobe, Mr. Asynchronous Programming, this article goes through the asynchronous programming model. And I think in particular interest is, you know, the idea is if I want to basically be able to take something and make it asynchronous, there's a bunch of task-based methods that you can use for that. So task completion source that you can plug into Task Factory from async, et cetera, that you basically... can build a task-based wrapper and therefore make your thing awaitable.
Nice.
Right? add it to a list, do all the wonderful things that you would normally do for to make something awaitable. And what Steven says is, yes, that's probably like the easy mode to do it. If you need to go and really have full fidelity control, say like a high throughput scenario, what you can do is go the next level down. And he basically takes you through a series of classes that you can do and plug into your asynchronous code so that you can control exactly how performance works when your code is being awaited. Wow. So when it's actually executed, how that execution data is handling back and forth, you know, whether something's completed,
yeah,
and basically all the things that you're going to need to do to implement async, but at a much lower level. So if you really care about performance, then you, depending on your scenario, you're probably going to look.
And
look
if
at this.
Anyone hasn't tried out the async CTP or async in Windows 8, I mean, it is neat stuff.
Yeah, I think the cool part too is, from my understanding, you can actually use async in Windows Phone, which
yes,
I haven't done yet,
yes,
but. It's a lot nicer than, say, having to do begin dispatcher, begin invoke,
and
call
one event, call another event, call another event.
Yeah, web request completed, plus equals, plus blah, blah, blah.
Personally, I've gotten quite good at lambdas.
I'm just saying. But a lot
lambdas
of it's boiler,
and delegates.
It's all boilerplate is
yeah,
the other big thing. So Scott Guthrie. Talking about, you know, Scott does his series of posts. This is his second on Windows Azure. So basically, he walks through, this is the Getting Started post, so it's pretty basic, but he walks through all the stuff that's actually in there. For example, the 750 hours, which they need to just say 3 months, because that's really what it is, but for whatever reason, they think hours, and I think anytime you think of that, it's like saying if your mom said how old is Clint, and she says like 500 months or something.
Well,
like that.
No, 750 hours is 1 month. It's 31.25.
Or maybe
days.
it's 1 month. This does include 3 months, but it gives
okay,
you the number of hours that you have for that particular month. But they should just say 3 months. You should just say 3 months versus. I don't normally think in hours. You think in hours?
Don't look at me, man.
How many hours alive are you? Okay.
I'm
so
old.
I'm just a crush.
Plus or minus 24 hours.
Yes, exactly. So, but the point is, he goes through exactly what you need. I think you need a cell phone and a credit card. You'll never actually be charged, even if you have. It basically does a limiter, so there's no way to go over, if you will.
Okay, that's good.
But it's really just for experimentation, right?
Yeah.
So, definitely check it out. If nothing else, you know. Lovely screenshots for people who aren't familiar with Azure.
Cool.
So next one up here, what's this one?
So this is basically using Blend to create a script Metro app for Windows 8. And now for me, I use a lot of XAML, so this doing the JavaScript stuff, I've done it in the past, but this is basically I have to relearn how to do all this stuff. So going through this multi-step tutorial was very useful for me to figure out how to do stuff. It's kind of different and a way of thinking, but if you're in, you know, a web dev, a lot of this stuff comes natural. So it's a good transition in figuring out how to do stuff. It's a simple game, but at the same time, it's
what
a
is
demo
the
memory.
Okay, everyone's probably familiar with memory.
So you just, you know, flip over two cards, the same, you get a point.
Okay, cool. And we should also say that this particular version is Expression Blend 5 Developer Preview. Because that's the one that has JavaScript support.
Yes.
So in case you have Expression 4 Studio, it doesn't have that JavaScript support. So, Mike Downey, HTML5 Player Framework. HTML5.
Yes.
So this player.
I thought that was going to be you covering this one. Okay, so.
I thought you knew about this.
Okay,
I do.
Okay, so it's the Silverlight Media or the Silverlight Media Framework.
Yeah.
This is now the HTML5 version of it.
Yeah.
So basically, it just makes your life skinning and using HTML5 video players a lot easier.
And you know, working across browsers and just
yeah,
a number of different things. So if you're looking for timeline features and all that stuff, and really Mike walks through a lot of the specifics. But you know, certainly on Channel 9, for example, we have. We're using the media, the Silverlight media
yes,
framework, and in this case, you can, for example, you even use both. So depending on if a user already has Silverlight, you may want to show them Silverlight. Otherwise, you could show them HTML5 or let the user pick, like we do on Channel 9.
Yep.
So, cool stuff. And again, everything is open source on CodePlex.
Yes.
So, which takes us to Rachel Apple's post on HTML5 geolocation plus Bing Maps into ASP.NET MVC views. So what this is it's basically an intro article on how to use Bing Maps.
Yes.
So for people who aren't familiar, you basically add a div, you give a specific name, and then you can do things like add push pins to that, choose how you're going to center the map, choose the specific type of view, turn certain features on and off. I've done a little bit of Bing Map programming. It seems incredibly intuitive. And again, one of the things that Rachel calls out, this example that's super helpful, is the Interactive SDK. So the Interactive SDK is basically an SDK sample that's available, an online sample that you can basically play with, that you can just choose features and see how they work together. So like, if you don't like their push pins, you can do custom push pins. That say have a nice picture of, you know, a Facebook headshot for all, you know, your friends on a map kind of thing.
Cool.
So, cool stuff. Which brings us to Picks of the Week! So, my pick of the week is Space Shoot, and it's a, speaking of games, a multiplayer game in HTML5. And the idea is being able to use WebSockets and being able to use WebSockets to communicate to a C# server app, as well as doing all the drawing using Canvas. And I think Canvas is actually going to be a great example where people can, for example, build 2D games.
Yeah.
If you're building 2D games, Canvas is actually a great place. It's very similar to maybe XNA, or in a simplified world where you're basically drawing everything 30 frames per second and choosing what to draw and so on. So there's a lot of cool stuff here. For people that have, say, never programmed WebSockets as well, never done, you know, that async programming model as well.
Cool.
Cool. So that's my pick of the week, and that brings us to your pick of the week.
Yes. So my pick of the week is sensor support in Windows 8. So me being a hardware junkie, the nice thing here is they go about and explain how sensors work in Windows 8. Like, if you rotate your laptop, your slate, how does that work? And explain in, you know, fairly layman's terms how a bunch of this stuff works relative to gravity. And if you didn't get one of the Samsung slates, they actually, ST Microelectronics has the board that you can buy, hook up through USB, so then when you're building out on, let's say, your laptop, you can simulate that kind of environment.
No, I love this too, and there is a video by Gavin Gear that you should definitely, you, the user, should definitely watch. Because I think the coolest part about this is what's called sensor fusion.
Yes.
So the idea is you have the magnetometer, the accelerometer, and the gyroscope, and all sensors can work together. So, for example, the classic thing is if you have a screen that's flat, you can't actually drive.
Yeah, because it doesn't have any relative to zero, so it had to be at an angle.
It had to be at an angle to drive like this. Right, exactly. So, but when you actually do the combination, they actually show the example of how you can, say, use a steering wheel to drive using that. So,
and then also it explains like how that it creates like a pass-through filter and reduces jitter, because any sensor by itself will have a large sum of noise to it. So if you were just holding it there, you'd see the sensor kind of, or the steering wheel jitter.
Sure.
And the video shows it, and he explains, well, if you use this kind of filter, this happens. And they explain basically, like, this is why we have this API now. So we did the hard stuff so you guys can do the fun stuff.
Cool. All right. Well, that's our show, and we will catch you all next time. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.